be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention. When behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. We're a week before we will hear this gospel again at the Christmas vigil. And the response that the church is trying to provoke in us during the home stretch of the Advent season is encapsulated, as it normally is, by the responsorial psalm. "Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory." Throughout this Psalm 24, it talks about raising gates. "Lift up your heads, O gates. Rise up, you ancient portals, that the King of glory may enter." This points to the fact that the gates of the Temple of Jerusalem were too small to permit the entrance of the Ark of the Covenant, which is interpreted at the time as if the people in Jerusalem were not yet ready to receive God into their temple. And as we prepare for the great feast of the Lord in a week, the church is seeking to make us ready to welcome the Savior. Many times we know we only open ourselves up a little to receive God. The psalm today is exhorting us not to hold back, but to open ourselves totally to accept God as He comes. The two great ways that He wants to come to us at Christmas are shown in the two names given to us by God Himself by which we are to refer to Him. Like any name, like your name, like my name, it allows us to be able to call upon the Son of God and have a personal relationship with Him. And these two names help us ground our relationship with Him on what He seeks to do in us. The first name we encounter is Emmanuel. There's a dramatic scene in today's first reading. Isaiah the prophet goes to see King Ahaz in Judah during the time when the capital of Judah, Jerusalem, is being sieged by the kingdoms of Israel, aka Ephraim, and Syria. Ahaz is about to make an alliance with the brutal kingdom of Assyria so that the Assyrians will come to liberate Jerusalem. Isaiah goes to Ahaz to tell him not to seal the alliance, but to have more trust in God than in the king and the troops of Assyria. Ahaz doesn't want to listen to God's word through the prophet, instead seeking lots of other prophets to tell him what he wants to hear. And he wants to hear, "Seal this alliance, because place your trust in Assyria. They will save you. They'll save Jerusalem." That's why God tells Ahaz through Isaiah to ask for a sign. Ask for anything, as deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky. And all of a sudden, Ahaz, who has been presumptuously testing the Lord through preparing to make that alliance, gets religion. "I won't ask," he replies. "I won't tempt the Lord." He didn't want to ask for a sign. because he feared that once that sign would be granted, it would be much more difficult for him to ignore what the Lord was telling him to do, and he didn't want to do it. After complaining that Ahaz was now wearying God just like he was fatiguing his people, Isaiah told him that God would give him a sign anyway. What sign? That a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call him Emmanuel. This sign at first glance was not altogether remarkable. On the surface, it seemed anything but an extraordinary miracle as high as the sky or as deep as the netherworld. It's not particularly rare that a virgin conceives a child. Throughout the centuries, there have been many children who have been conceived on honeymoons from a woman who prepares for marriage the way every girl should, by saving herself for a husband, just like a husband should save himself for his future wife. The sign value for Ahaz would be more in the name given to that child, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That child would be a sign that God is on the house of Judah's side, that we don't have to act even when we're being sieged if God has abandoned us. Just open a parenthesis. We don't know whether there was an immediate first fulfillment of this prophecy. Some biblical and historical scholars have said that it was Ahaz's son Hezekiah. But Hezekiah was not only conceived, but 9 years old by this point. Others said that it might refer to one of Isaiah's other children. But Isaiah's wife had already conceived several children by this point as well. Regardless, Ahaz did what he was determined to do. He ignored God's counsel through the prophet. He ignored the sign God gave and formed an alliance with the king of Assyria. And after liberating Jerusalem from the kingdoms of Israel and Syria, Assyria made Judah a vassal kingdom, sieged Jerusalem, and after Assyria was defeated by the Babylonians, the Babylonians took possession of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, murdered many residents, and transported those who survived off as slaves. Ahaz ignored God's advice, and it led to the destruction, not the salvation, of Jerusalem. If only Ahaz had trusted. The true and definitive fulfillment of the sign given to Ahaz, however, we see in today's gospel. 700 years later, in describing the miraculous events of Jesus' conception and birth, St. Matthew wrote, "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. From the time the prophecy had been given, it was always linked to the coming of the Messiah. Because a short time later in Isaiah, there's the description of a child born to us, a son given to us, who would have dominion on his shoulders and be called by others Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, and Prince of Peace. But they never fathomed that the fulfillment would be anything more than a sign of the God who bears all of these attributes. That God would literally fulfill that prophecy in two ways was so far beyond their imagination. That a virgin would conceive a child and remain a virgin. And that God with us would actually be God with us. That God would take on our nature and come to abide with us. That he would be descended from David according to the flesh, as we heard in today's second reading. In the very Son of God. The fulfillment of this prophecy would not just be a sign that God was on our side, but actually the signified presence of God at our side. This would make the sign announced by Isaiah a sign for all time. Why? Because we're tempted sometimes, like Ahaz, to go through life as if God is not really there for us. As if he's not actually present. Just somewhere past the planet Pluto in the solar system. But God has given us this enduring sign that even when we're experiencing tremendous human difficulty, even when it seems the whole world is sieging at the edge of our life, about to tear us apart, that we're never, ever, ever, ever abandoned. There's a clear purpose to God's presence, and that leads us to the second name of the Son of God that we need to ponder. God is not just there, but He's there doing something. God with us doesn't come among us to leave us where He finds us. He doesn't allow us to be eaten alive by the wolves. He comes literally to lift us up, literally to raise us from the dead, not just later after our funeral is celebrated, but right now. He was born so that we might be reborn and live a new life with Him. This is testified to in the name the angel tells St. Joseph to give the Son of Mary. You are to name Him Yeshua, Jesus in Greek, which means God saves. And the angel tells Joseph quite clearly what God through this infant will save the Jews and us from. He will save His people from their sins. God is with us, therefore, for the purpose of saving us from our sins. The Son of God didn't become God with us merely to hang with us, as the teenage colloquialism goes, but to hang for us. He took on our human nature so that He could give that nature as an expiation for our sins. And this is something that is constantly present tense. Emmanuel means God is with us, not God was with us. Jesus means God saves, not God saved. Not only does the name Jesus interpret the name Emmanuel, but the name Jesus also makes possible Emmanuel. Because Jesus saved us from our sins so that we could be much more fully with Him who came to be with us. Our sins prevent communion with God. And hence Jesus, in coming to save us from them, was making possible the fulfillment of the prophetic name Emmanuel. Our sharing in the mystery and joy of Christmas, therefore, depends on whether we enter into the present, into this saving, forgiving presence. Our celebration of Christmas depends on whether we can really look the baby Jesus in the eye and say, Emmanuel and Jesus, You are God with me, and You came here to save me. If we can't really mean those words that we give to Jesus, we're just scratching the surface of the meaning of our faith. So we're called this Advent to lift up our gates, to allow our merciful Redeemer in. And let's get really practical. One way we're called to do so is through the gift of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Jesus founded this gift on Easter Sunday evening to save us from all the sins we've committed after baptism. But we need to respond to that gift of saving love. So many Catholics have been given that divine gift, but they leave it as an unopened package in the corner of their life. That's one of the reasons why their celebration of Christmas isn't nearly as joyful as God wants it to be. Our appreciation for Jesus coming into the world is directly dependent on whether we realize we need Him, that we're sinners in need of so great a Savior, and come to receive the medicine of His mercy. Have you lived a good Advent yet? You haven't, honestly and out of love, if you haven't gone to confession yet this Advent. Make the time over this last week if you haven't yet received that gift. So we prepare for Christmas, it's not only a time to prepare gifts for others, it's a tangible expression of our Christian love for them. It's also a time when we focus on the gift God wants to give us, and prepare ourselves to give ourselves as a gift in return to Him. And the gift that the divine birthday boy wants from us isn't material. After all, He created the heavens and the earth. He wants from us any part of us that we haven't yet really given to Him, that we haven't consecrated to Him. He wants us to receive His help to give ourselves over to Him in these two great gifts by which He meets us always, corresponding to His two names: the gift of His presence in the Holy Eucharist, Emmanuel, God with us, and the gift of His saving forgiveness in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, Yeshua, God saves. He wants to give us that dual gift. Let's not waste it. One last thing that I'd like to say is, here at this Church of St. Joseph, it's important for us to notice that St. Joseph's response in the Gospel is the counter-response of Ahab. And a parish dedicated to St. Joseph should be distinguished by its devotion to the foster father of Jesus. More than any other parish in the city, this parish should know St. Joseph and imitate his virtues. So what do we see in this scene about how to lift high the gates to respond to Jesus' God saves and God with us? First thing St. Joseph teaches us is the courage that Ahaz lacked. Ahaz didn't trust enough in God to do what God was asking. Joseph had that courage when the angel said to him in a dream, "Don't be afraid, Joseph," for fear was a real issue. Joseph responded with audacity. Second, whereas Ahaz was corrupt, Joseph responded with holiness. St. Matthew writes that Joseph was a just or righteous man. In other words, he was a holy man in right relationship with God. Pope Benedict once said about St. Joseph, in a play on words, that this just man adjusted himself to God's plan. And if we want to imitate St. Joseph, we too need to adjust ourselves to what God has revealed today and relate to Him in His presence and in His mercy. Third thing we see about St. Joseph is, whereas Ahaz disobeyed, St. Joseph characteristically obeyed. And he obeyed in a dream. Just think about it for a second. If tonight you went home and in your fatigue you went to bed, and in the middle of the dream, God appeared to you and said, "I want you to sell your house, I want you to sell your car, I want you to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then go serve me as a missionary in Africa." Would you get up in the morning and do it? Or would you tell somebody else, "I had a nightmare last night"? Even after Sigmund Freud analyzed human dreams, it would have been so easy for St. Joseph to deconstruct that dream. But he didn't, because he was so obedient to God. When the Lord suggested it in a dream, he acted. And that wasn't the first time. It was the first of four times we know of. Later, after Jesus' birth, when the angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Get up now and go to Egypt because Herod's trying to kill the child," Joseph didn't tarry. Off he went in the middle of the night in the desert without lights. And when he was in Egypt and the angel appeared to him in another dream and said, "Herod's dead, go back," Joseph with Mary and Jesus left immediately. And then as he drew close to Judah, the angel indicated to him that Herod's son Archelaus was ruling in Judah and he was just as bad as his father. "Go to Galilee." And that's where we went. If we're going to be an anti-Ahaz, if we're going to be like St. Joseph, we need to obey what God is asking. Fourth, Joseph was obedient because he was faithful. He believed in what God had said. That's why he put it into practice. To have faith, to trust God, doesn't mean we're going to see everything clearly. It doesn't mean that everything's necessarily going to make sense initially. What it does mean is that we trust in God enough to do what God is asking. Do we trust in God enough to do what God is asking? Joseph did, Ahaz didn't. Whom are we going to follow? Pope Benedict once said when he was traveling in Cameroon, throughout all of history, Joseph is the man who gives the greatest display of trust, even in the face of such astonishing news. St. Joseph wants to help us as we approach Christmas trust that same way. And lastly, Joseph shows us how to respond well by taking Mary, his wife, into his home. Mary's not our wife. But when Jesus was on the cross, he said to us, "Behold your mother." And we're told that St. John at the foot of the cross took Mary into her home. He, as the beloved disciple, shows us what we're supposed to do with Mary. And if we're really going to relate to God the way God wants, we can't do it without Mary, because she is the perfect one who shows us how to say yes to God in all circumstances. She helped Joseph, and she will help us. That virgin who conceived and bore a son who was called God with us wants to help us to learn, as she learned, how to live with that omnipresent, full-time God and Savior. So today we come, and in this last week of Christmas, as we prepare for God's gift of Himself in ways that will have exceeded anything we could have ever asked, God doesn't give us a sign in response to our yearnings, but He gives us a sacrament, a sign He instituted to bring about what this sign indicates. God's presence with us in all our difficulties in the Eucharist, and God saving us from our sins in confession. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to respond to these gifts like St. Joseph, and lift up our gates to receive them with faith, and to be strengthened by God to help others lift up their gates high as well. This is the real enduring meaning of Christmas. Jesus is coming to save us from our sins and to be with us. Let us go out to meet Him and be transformed by Him in such a way that our life will never be the same. O come, Emmanuel. Praise be Jesus Christ.